Good morning, church. How's everybody doing this morning? Are you happy to be in the house of God? We're glad to have you here. Listen, my name is Pastor Alex. I'm one of the pastors here at New Life Church. And if this is your first time here, we're so excited to have you. We hope you can come again and check out our church and our people. I think you really will enjoy this place. Well, I wanted to greet you with these words, Happy Easter. Happy Easter. Jesus is risen. One more. He's alive. He was dead, but death couldn't hold him down. Torment and torture, the nail cross couldn't hold him down. The nails couldn't hold him down. Death couldn't hold him down. He's greater than death. He's alive. Today we're starting a new series called Cross Equals Love. Probably see the signs all over the city, billboards, chalk on a sidewalk, and all those things, and we're so glad you're here. But cross was not a symbol of love when it was started. It was started a long time ago, and it was perfected by Romans. It was the most excruciating, most terrifying death you could possibly achieve. If you wanted to really punish somebody really bad, what would you do? You created a cross. But before you put somebody on a cross, you would whip him. You would give him 39 lashes. You would really break him apart. And then you would nail him to the cross and you would leave him hanging there till people died. And some people would hang on a cross for 2-3 days. But Jesus Christ, he only hung on a cross, only for 6 hours. He bled to death. They took all of his blood. But there was a reason why he bled to death. Because through his blood, we have forgiveness. His blood covers all of our sins, and we have peace with God today. So on Friday, when Jesus was crucified, cross was a symbol of hate, condemnation, shame, defeat. But on Sunday, on Easter Sunday, when Jesus rose again, cross is a symbol of victory. Cross is a symbol of victory. Duh, winning. Jesus won. Death couldn't hold him down. And it says that if the devil knew what the plan of salvation was for all humanity, he would never crucify Jesus. He's just dumb. He doesn't know. Okay? And so cross today equals victory. Cross today equals love. Cross today means forgiveness to anybody who looks to that cross, not just to that symbol, but what it represents. Will not perish, but have everlasting life. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's talk about Peter, okay? Let's talk about Peter today. Peter was the first disciple that Jesus called. Remember, Peter was a fisherman, and he was fishing all night, didn't catch anything. And Jesus said to him, hey, Peter, throw your nets again for a great catch. And Peter throws his nets, and he catches a whole bunch of fish, more than he could handle. And Jesus says, come follow me, Peter. So Peter follows Jesus, and for 3.5 years, he sees miracles. He sees Jesus walking on the water, healing the sick, casting out demons. He sees Jesus raise people from the dead. He sees Jesus preach and teach these things about kingdom of God. And Peter sees all these things. And one day, Jesus said, Peter, I'm going to be crucified. And Peter says, no way, Jesus. It's not going to happen. And he said, Peter, you will deny me 3 times one day. And Peter says, what? Jesus, I will never deny you. What are you talking about? I will go with you till I die. Even if I get killed, I'll follow you, Peter. Well, the next day, Jesus gets arrested. He gets taken into the courtyard. And guess what Peter does? Instead of defending Jesus, he runs away. One other guy named John, he was wearing a robe. The soldier grabbed his robe, but he wiggled out of that robe and ran out naked. All of Jesus' disciples on the night Judas betrayed him, ran away. Peter sheepishly sneaks in into the courtyard trying to hear what was going to happen to Jesus. Remember, they don't understand the plan of salvation. They think Jesus is going to establish kingdom of God on the earth and they're going to be his representatives. They're going to be big shots. And here, Jesus gets arrested, he's taken to court, and it doesn't look good. Peter stands there quietly, just listening in the crowd. What's going to happen? One of the young servant girls of the priest, high priest of that time, recognizes Peter. Says, Peter, you were one of his disciples. I saw you with them. You were the one who was giving us bread and fish. And Peter, because of fear, says, no, I don't know that man. She says, yes, 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 I do know you. And he starts cursing, Bible says. Cursing, saying, the F, I know this man. I don't know this man. Who is this man? I don't know him. He starts cursing, Bible says. And then third time she says, no, I know you were with him. Your language, you got an accent, Peter, and it sells you out. You're Galilean. You were definitely with him. Peter starts coming up with all the words he can, saying, I was not with him. And the rooster crows three times. And Peter looks at Jesus, and Jesus looks at Peter. And Peter runs out with tears. Runs out with tears. Pilate finally sentences Jesus to death. They nail him to the cross, and for six excruciating hours, Jesus hangs on a cross, and then he bleeds to death. When Jesus died, Peter and the rest of the disciples never lost faith in Jesus, right? Wrong. False. When Jesus died, Peter and the rest of the disciples stopped believing Jesus was God as fast as they ran out when Jesus was being arrested. They stopped believing in God. Peter's and the disciples were in shock. For 3 years, Jesus made some outrageous claims, right? He said he was the Son of God. See, this for us, we know the story of resurrection. But for them, it didn't click. You see, for them, it was like, what? What resurrection? This doesn't happen. This is not normal. And so Jesus made some outrageous claims. He says, I'm the Son of God. The Father and I are one, right? I'm going to establish a kingdom. He talked about the kingdom of God is coming. Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God except through me. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. Jesus said this, if you believe in me, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's what they're hearing. They're hearing, if you believe in Jesus, you will live forever. They don't understand the bigger plan of salvation. And so when Jesus died on the cross, when he was crucified, their faith died with him. Peter became an unbeliever in Jesus. Yes, he believed Jesus was a good teacher, a miracle worker, but he was not who he said it was. He was not God, because Jesus said about himself, I'm the Son of God. My Father and I are one. We're the same. Peter's faith died with him. Jesus' message died with him. Jesus' movement died with him. See, people who want to discredit resurrection of Jesus will say something like this. The disciples made up the story. They created a lie and spread it all over the world. But based on what we know from the Bible about the disciples and how they behaved after he died, atheist friend, you give them too much credit. They were not as brave and smart as you give them credit to be. Help me out. You can say amen if you want. Based on what we know, you give them too much credit. When Jesus died, they stopped believing in him. When Jesus died, it was like a Category 5 tornado hit their lives and just destroyed everything they believed in. From the death of Jesus, they stopped believing in Jesus. So how can people who stop believing in him spread this big lie that people talk about when they want to discredit resurrection? Well, let's look at a little deeper. Peter was so disappointed when Jesus died. He said this, I'm done with this Messiah business. I am done following a religious guru. I was looking for a Messiah. I was hoping he was the one. I was hoping he, but he's dead now. He's dead. Everything he said, that live forever stuff, is a lie. Yeah, he was a good man. Yes, he was a good miracle worker, but he's dead. And you know what Peter does? He says to himself, in front of all his buddies, he says, I'm going back fishing. I'm done with this stuff. And the rest of his, Peter is a leader, so he's got the rest of the guys. They say, you know what? We're going with you. Do you think these are the men who believe? These are the men who are defeated. Have you ever had a bad moment happen to your life and you lost faith in Jesus? Maybe somebody you love died. Maybe you were praying for something and God didn't answer it. And you were like them. I know I have those moments in my life. Many years ago, about 17, 18 years ago, my brothers got in trouble. We were Christians. They started using drugs, drinking, and partying, and they got in trouble. And one day, our house was surrounded by police. And I was like, God, help us. And this was like right before my 18th birthday. And my girlfriend was standing there. We were just about to go play volleyball. And she was standing looking like, what's going on? And when her mom heard about my family, you know, we were hit with a tornado, Category 5. Have you ever had something? Maybe a divorce. Maybe your spouse just said, I don't want to be with you anymore. Maybe some financial job loss. That's what happened to Peter. He lost his faith because we're human. Sometimes we're like, God, why? Why did this good person have to die? Why did this good person have to go through cancer? Why is this good person has to be in a wheelchair? God, why? That's what happened to Peter and the rest of the disciples. Why, Jesus? So Peter says, John 21:3. Let's read that so you know I'm telling the truth. Simon Peter said, I am going fishing. We'll come with you, they said. So they went out into the boat, but they caught nothing all night. You know when this happened? After resurrection. Hold on. After resurrection, yes. After resurrection, Peter says, I'm going fishing. Keep that in mind. Let's keep going. Peter is getting his apartment cleaned out, packing his bags and the rest of the disciples. And they're like, we're gone. We're done. They gave up. They couldn't make up. Listen, if somebody told you that resurrection story was made up, they couldn't made it up. They themselves didn't believe in Jesus after he died. But, on Sunday morning, when they least expect it, listen to this. Luke 24:1-7 says this. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. Now, this is weird. This is so weird. Women get up early Sunday morning, go into the tomb, preparing spices. What are the spices for? You think women came believing? We're hoping Jesus rose from the dead. No, false again. They came so they can rewrap him. See, on Friday when Jesus was crucified, Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man, and Nicodemus went to Pilate and says, can we have his body so we can give him proper burial? So men did burial that day, on Friday. So on Sunday, women are like, you know, when men do something, you got to check over and make sure they did it right. So Mary Magdalene, she loves Jesus so much, although she doesn't believe he's going to rise from the dead, because she's just going to do what? To rewrap him. She's going to the tomb to rewrap him. Last night, as I was talking to my wife about this story, I said, honey, listen, if I died and they buried me, you know, the funeral home prepared my body and buried me, and 3 days later you couldn't sleep and you just got up, and would you go to them and say, can you guys dig him out? I want to make sure that he is properly prepared for burial. You know what she gave me? A long pause, and she said, probably not, honey. I would just leave you be. But Mary Magdalene was so touched by Jesus. Remember, Mary Magdalene was a former prostitute. Jesus touched her life. She loved him, but she didn't believe he was risen. She just loved him because he changed her life. Remember, she had 7 demons, Bible says, in her, and Jesus cast those out. And now she's free, and this is the happiest she's ever been. And she's following this teacher, Jesus, but Jesus dies. Notice by the tomb, there's no man. Where is the man? Remember, he invested 3.5 years of his life into them. And you would think there would be men waiting to see if what he said was true, but it didn't register to them. Let me read. Can I read some more? All right, read it. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices that had prepared. Spices are for burial, for reburial, to make sure Jesus was buried good. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, 2 men suddenly appeared to them clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. The man asked, why are you looking among the dead for someone who's alive? He's alive. What are you doing? Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee? That the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day. Something happened on Sunday morning. Women are looking for Jesus. He's not there. So guess what these women do? They run back to find disciples. They run back looking for Peter, for John, for other disciples. Tell them the good news. I don't know if they believe in this moment yet because they haven't seen him yet. They just heard from two men in white clothing. John says that they were angels. Okay? But they go tell the disciples, and you would think the disciples would be like, really? That's so awesome. We're done going fishing. We're going to go find Jesus. Watch what happens. Let's read more scriptures. Well, watch with this. So they rush back, verse 9. So they rush back from the tomb, these women, to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. Verse 11, but the story, read it with me, sounded like nonsense to men, so they didn't believe. You think disciples were better than you? They were not. You think they had greater faith than you? They did not. Even spending time with Jesus, and hearing that he said he will raise from the dead. Let's read. But the story sounded like nonsense to the man, so they didn't believe it. How can people who don't believe create a lie that one third of the population of the world believe in today? Something had to happen. Today, over 2 billion people on earth in different languages, on different continents, wearing different robes and clothes and suits, are worshiping a carpenter. How did that happen from the man to whom it sounded like nonsense when they heard? Listen, they didn't believe. They couldn't come up with this story. I'm trying to tell you because the world tries to tell us that no. They made up the story. They believed they saw Jesus. Let's keep going. There were some other disciples of Jesus. And early Sunday morning, you know how it says, kill the shepherd and the sheep will scatter? Well, Jesus was killed. He was the shepherd. His disciples are slowly scattering. Peter is just getting his apartment ready so he could leave, right? There's two other guys. They sneaked out of town early on Sunday morning. And they're going from Jerusalem to the town called Emmaus. How many of you heard that story? If you didn't, it's a 7-mile walk. They're walking sad. And I'm not going to read you the story. I'm just going to tell you. They're walking sad saying, man, that sucks. Man, that sucks. Jesus, they don't know it's Jesus, starts walking behind them. And he says, guys, hold on. What are you talking about? And why are you so sad? They're like, are you the only one in Jerusalem who hasn't heard? There was this guy named Jesus. He was a powerful prophet. He was powerful in word and deed, and God really had his hand on him. I mean, he was really, but our priest killed him and crucified him, and he is dead. And they're sad. And listen to this, Luke 24:21. Listen to what they say to him. But we have hoped he was the Messiah. Underline that word in your Bibles if you have one. We were hoping he was the Messiah. Is this something coming out of people who believed? When Jesus died, listen to me, their faith died with him. So why do we have Christianity today? Wait. Wait a little bit. Are you getting this? Are you following? Amen. But we have hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This has happened 3 days ago. We don't believe it anymore. We hoped he was. He might be a great prophet, but he is dead. He's not God. He's not who he said he was. And Jesus starts talking to them. And before they knew it, they realize, who are you? They look at him and they realize it's Jesus. And they're like, you're alive. So he goes, they invite him to their house. They're like, come on with us. He breaks bread, makes communion with them. They eat and drink. And everybody sees, we know you. You are the one. And he disappears from their vision. He fed him food, disappears from their vision. They get up, run back to Jerusalem, find Peter who is packing his bag and says, We saw Jesus. We ate with him. He's real. He's alive just like he said he would be. You think Peter and John believe, right? False. False again. Peter is packing his bag, grabs his bunch, and goes fishing. From Jerusalem, that's kind of a far away. Jerusalem is far from Galilee. So Peter goes fishing. He's fishing all night. Sunday night, he starts fishing into Monday morning. Fishes all night, catches nothing. Early in the morning, as he's still fishing in the middle of the lake, a voice Peter hears, and the rest of the disciples, there were seven of them, Bible says, hears, "Children, do you have anything to eat?" Peter's like, "No, we don't. We were fishing all night, but no, we don't. Sorry." He says to them, "Throw your nets on the other side." Peter's like, reminds me of somebody. Said it to me 3.5 years ago, a long time ago. He's like, "Fine, I'll throw it in." So he takes the nets, throws them in, and before he knew it, he's catching the biggest catch of his lifetime. John says to Peter, "I think that's the Lord. I think that's Jesus." Peter realizes that he's naked. It was night. Yeah, right? Malachi's like, oh. Peter realizes he's naked because it's night. They were fishing. He puts a robe on and jumps into the water and swims to the shore. No way. It can't be. It can't be you. It is. Jesus says, "Peter, I have food for you. Come eat." And Peter looks and there's breakfast ready. Fish on the fire. Right? Right? It's Jesus. He's alive. See, you think Christianity, the world will tell you Christianity is built on disciples making up the story. Well, they believed they saw Jesus. No, they didn't. Christianity is not built on a belief. The foundation of Christianity, that something happened in history and they saw it. They witnessed it. It's not based on belief. They saw it. Jesus comes to Peter and says, "Peter, do you love me?" Remember, Peter denied him 3 days ago. Remember, he heard all these testimonies from women, from the men from going to Emmaus. He heard all these stories about that Jesus is risen. He didn't believe. And you would think Jesus would say, "Peter, you were my first disciple. Now you're going to be my last one. You're like right there with Judas," and he hung himself. "How dare you deny me 3 times? That's what you think. But cross is not a symbol of condemnation. Jesus, Bible says, for the Son of Man did not come into the world to condemn the world. We're already condemned. We know we're sinners. All of us know. The guy who blew up that airplane in Germany. Man, what evil. Right? We know that the guys who are chopping people's heads off in the name of religion. That's so evil. So evil. The guys who are going to a university in Kenya and shooting people and saying, "Do you believe in Jesus? Then you get a bullet." That's so evil. World has so much evil. And if we look inside, we got evil inside of us too. And so you would think that Jesus would say to Peter, "You're done. You used to be in the first seat in the choir, but now you're in the last one. Get back to the back of the bus." That's not what Jesus says to Peter. He says, "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me?" "But Jesus, I messed up. But Jesus, no, but do you love me?" "You know that I love you." Then he says, "Go and feed my sheep. Be a preacher." "What? I just denied you 3 days ago. I kept denying you for 3 days. What do you mean?" See, it doesn't matter what you've done 3 days ago. It doesn't matter what your past has been like. Cross equals love. He did not come to show you your mistakes and punish you for your mistake. Bible says he came to save the lost, not to condemn the world. God loves you. He cares for you. It's not a cliche. If he loves Peter, who denied him and saw him and didn't believe, he loves you and me. Oh, what an awesome God. Woo! Fast forward. Jesus is taken by the cloud 40 days later after his resurrection. He was seen by over 500 people. You know why Christianity spread so fast all over the world? Not because they believed something happened. They saw him. They saw him. Thomas said, "I will never believe till I see him." That was their attitude when Jesus died. Doubting Thomas is not so bad when you start thinking about what Peter was, right? Doubting Thomas kind of gets a bad rap, you know, for being just a doubter. But Peter and the rest of them was just as big of a doubter as Doubting Thomas. He says, I won't believe till I see him. And then Jesus stands in front of him and says, Thomas, touch my body. Touch my wounds, my scars. And don't be an unbeliever. Be a believer. And Thomas falls and says, the Lord, my God. And even Thomas went and preached the gospel all over the world. See, Christianity is not built on disciples believing that Jesus rose from the dead. Let's fast forward. Peter is going, and John, this is Jesus already went to be with the Father. Peter and John are going to the church to pray. And on the way there, they see a crippled man. He's begging them for money. They said to him, silver and gold we don't have, but what we have, we give you. Peter says, grab my hand, get up and walk. And the man who's been crippled for over 30 some years gets up and starts running around. Well, a big crowd gathers. It was a special day, right? So big crowd gathers, and there was about 2,000 people. And Peter sees a crowd, and he's a preacher, right? So he begins to preach. He preaches, and he starts preaching the name of Jesus. He said, in the name of this Jesus that you guys crucified, but God rose him from the dead, we preach. The priests heard about that. Remember, the priests are the one who crucified Jesus. They heard about that. They go and arrest Peter and John. They throw him in jail overnight. Next morning, they bring him up and says, why do you preach in this name? And Peter says, well, we have to. And let me read to you, okay? Let me read to you this account. Acts chapter 4, verse 20. We cannot. They said, stop preaching in the name of Jesus. You can preach about God. You can preach about law of Moses, but don't preach this name Jesus. Peter says this, we cannot stop telling about everything we have believed. Is that what it says? Hold on. Peter says, we cannot stop telling about everything we would hope would happen. See, Christianity is not built upon disciples' belief that Jesus rose from the dead. We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. Christianity is built on disciples really seeing Jesus rise from the dead. And if a man can predict his death and predict his resurrection, then I'm going to listen to what he says and I'm going to believe it. Amen? And then they said, well, you got to shut up. You can't preach about this Jesus. And listen to what they say. Let's put verse 12, 4:12. Peter says, how can we stop preaching? There is salvation in no one else. Listen. There is salvation in no one else. It's not in an idea. It's not in a whole bunch of rules to follow. It's in the name. See, Christianity is different from any other religion because it's not based on rules to follow. It's in the name. There is salvation in no one else. God given no name under heaven by which we must be saved. So Peter says, how can we stop preaching if the only way people are going to get saved is through that name of Jesus? Peter believed not because Peter followed Jesus and later he was crucified. He was a martyr for Jesus, not because he believed. Disciples didn't spread this message all over the world, and it came to us, and over 2 billion people believe it today because they believed Jesus rose from the dead. No, they saw. They saw he rose from the dead. And listen, Peter believed not because he had such a strong faith. Christianity is not built because they believed, but they saw that Jesus rose from the dead, and they couldn't stop preaching. Christianity is built on historic fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Now my question to you is, what are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with this information? Are you going to just leave here the same way, or are you going to say, Jesus, I believe who you said you were. There is enough evidence, there is enough witness and testimony that I believe. I want everyone here to close their eyes and bow their head. And I want to ask a question. Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? You heard all the evidence today. You heard from the guys who didn't believe, but then they saw him risen from the dead. And they were willing to die. Maybe there's one crazy who would be willing to die for a lie. But all those people didn't die on a Roman arenas being killed by lions for a lie. They died because they really saw something they couldn't ignore. So today I have a question for you. Because I know this, God loves you. The reason you are here this morning on Easter Sunday is because God has brought you here. I know maybe your friend invited you. Maybe somebody told you, if you come to church, I'll buy you lunch or whatever. Or maybe to help make your mom happy. You know, you came to church. But today you heard the evidence and you cannot dispute it. And something in your heart says, it's true. The Bible says, God so loved the world that He gave His Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. See, nobody ever dies. We just transition from one life, from physical to spiritual, from material to eternal. So I want to ask you, do you believe? And if you do, on a count of three, maybe you backslid and like Peter, you stopped believing because of some event in your life, but today something has happened in your heart. The word fell into your heart and began to do something. Your heart is beating. And I know there's a resistance from hell itself, from you not believing today, from you not raising your hand. But I'm going to count to three. And on the count of three, if you believe, raise your hand and raise it high. God loves you. He wants to have a relationship with you. Some of you stopped believing when you were like 12, 13. Some of you stopped believing because you started messing around and you're like, I don't know if I won't believe God because it makes me feel too guilty. But today is a new day. God loves you. He wants to give you eternal life. He wants to come in into your heart and transform it. I'm going to count to three. If you maybe knew Jesus but walked away, but today you want to say, I believe, come into my heart, raise your hand. If you never knew Him, on a count of three, raise your hand and raise it high. 1, 2, 3. Please raise your hand. 1 hand, 2 hands, 3 hands, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Come on, is there one more? Is there one more? Raise it high. 14. Come on. Come on, church, clap your hands and celebrate. If you raise your hand, I want you to pray with me. And actually, I want everybody to pray with me. Say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive all my sins. I believe You're the Son of God who died for my sins. And by me putting my faith in You, my sins are exchanged with Your perfection. So I get Your righteousness. You get my sin. From this moment, I trust You. I believe You. And I will follow You. I believe. I believe. I believe that Jesus is God. And He's my Lord and Savior. I believe. That changes everything. From this moment on, I declare by faith that I'm saved, I'm forgiven, the past is in the past, and I have new life in Christ, in Jesus' name. Put your hands together and celebrate God.